Well, let me just wish everyone a blessed Sabbath. It's good to see you all on this beautiful Sabbath morning. What a blessing we can be here together with the freedom to worship. No persecution, no one to harass us. What a blessing, which, you know, we can't take for granted. And it's good to see a full house today. What a blessing. That is wonderful. And I know God is going to bless us as we share his word together. I'd just like to remind you that after lunch today, our pastor will be back here at 2 o'clock to continue our study on the book of Daniel. So I hope you can stay behind. And just to remind you also, on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. So those of us who've been attending, we have been and we are being very blessed. So if you can make it, please join us. And it will be great. So before we open the word of God, I'd just like to offer a word of prayer so God can guide our thoughts together. I pray. Father, thank you that we can be here to share your word. Father, I pray now that you'll fill us with a good measure of your Holy Spirit, that the words that we speak may come direct from the throne of heaven, and that it will challenge us to take a closer look at our work with you and to do our best to spend more time with you on our knees in reading your word and praying, Lord. Because we know that the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we become like him. So bless us now as we open your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you got your Bibles with you because we're going to have a bit of a Bible study. You've seen the title of the sermon. What is it? What is the title? How to Rewire Your Brain for Eternity. And I'm going to share 7 steps with you this morning. And you know what makes my heart glad? To see our young people with us. The young ones at the back and over here. Because sometimes the young people like to sit in the back. But it's good to join the family of God. You know, we must encourage our young people to be here with us. Because this is a time when we share God's word, you know, once a week. So please encourage them to be here. And our friend is going to give you a copy of the, Roger, a copy of the presentation, of the outline, the 7 points, at the end of the sermon, not now, otherwise you'll be looking at all these 7 points. What are they? You're going to be digging into it. But we will, as I said, we're going to have a Bible study together. How to rewire your brain for eternity. You know, there is a battle that is raging in your life and my life, 24 hours a day. In 1965, Donald Gray Barnhouse, he wrote a book called The Invisible War. It's a battle for your mind, and that battle is vicious. It is intense. It is unrelenting, and it's unfair. Then again, Satan never plays fair, does he? And the reason as to why this war is so intense, because your mind is your greatest asset. And Satan's plan is to control your mind. That's his plan. Very simple. And let me remind you, friends, at the end of the day, whoever controls your mind will control your destiny. So if you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and accept his gift of free salvation, then you can look forward to spending eternity with him when he comes back to planet Earth and put an end to all this misery. However, if you decide to reject him, and like the song that Frank Sinatra sang, "I did it my way," then you know something? Heaven will be torture. You will not be happy there. You'll be miserable. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 reminds us, and the gift. That's what we're going to have a Bible study. That's right. So we have a choice. So friends, it's crucial that we guard the avenues of our minds. It's crucial that we are constantly on guard and be aware that Satan will manipulate our senses and cunningly lead us to a path of destruction. You know, I have seen the face of mental illness. I have seen what it's like when people are unable to hear God because their minds are so broken and they find it very hard to connect with God, even when they want to do so. So one of the most important things we need to learn and teach others is how to guard, how to strengthen, how to renew our minds, because the battle for sin starts in the right here in your mind. You know, someone once said, the most characteristic effect of sin is delusion. The creating of the impression that all is well in our lives and that no further action is to be taken. I go to church every week. I pay my tithe. I don't murder. I don't kill. Everything is wonderful. I'm on my way to heaven. That is a delusion, my friends. That is Satan's plan. So this morning, can you hear me okay, by the way? Okay, I don't know, I just don't feel that. Or do I need to put my head forward? I can hear my ear better. Okay, so this morning, I have to share with you 7 steps that will help you and I on our spiritual journey. And as I shared before, you recall, I preached on, you know, the keys of prayer, you know, the power of prayer. And I gave you some beautiful Bible verses and how prayer can be the key to different aspects of your lives. So today we're going to look at this, and then you can have a copy at the end of the sermon. But before I look at these 7 steps, I want to share some thoughts with you, okay, from this wonderful book, Ellen G. White, The Great Controversy. You know the one? So sit back and listen. First of all, I want to share some thoughts here from chapter 37, okay, about the scriptures being a safeguard. And we read here, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8, verse 20. The people of God are directed to the scriptures as their safeguard against the influence of false teachers and the delusive power of spirits of darkness. Satan employs every possible device to prevent men from obtaining a knowledge of the Bible. Did you know that? And I'll just jump around, okay? And then talk about the counterfeit. So, so closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by the Holy Scriptures. None, and then she says, listen, none but those who have fortified their mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. That's what she tells us. And then she says here, Satan is constantly endeavoring to attract attention to man in the place of God. He leads the people to look to bishops, to pastors, to professors of theology as their guides, instead of searching the scriptures to learn their duty for themselves. Then, by controlling the minds of these leaders, he can influence the multitudes according to his will. I don't know if you're aware. I was reading an article in one of our record magazine. I think it was back in May. It was from a member from Waitara Church, who's retired now. And he was sharing in that article how a lot of his friends, you know, are spending so much time on the internet now. Because, you know, you can watch all these wonderful videos on YouTube, yeah? And there's a lot of theories going on, all kinds of stuff, and you can spend hours listening to all these wonderful preachers and prophets and all the rest of it, that you haven't got time for the Bible. And suddenly your truth is being, shall we say, derived from what you watch. And Satan, I tell you, is using these means to take your mind away from God, from his word, to all these wonderful people. And what I want to emphasize here, and he was saying in his article, you know, how important it is for us to go back to the Bible. Dig deep. Know the truth for yourself. Don't take it secondhand from someone on YouTube and based your faith on that person. Ellen G. White warned of this. She warned us. So be afraid, friends. Notwithstanding, the Bible is full of warnings against false teachers, many already thus to commit the keeping of their souls to the clergy. And then she goes on and on. There's so many things I have underlined here, but I just want to pick some bits and pieces here. The key thing that comes up is this. We should day by day study YouTube, she says. Is that what she says? What does she say? The Bible, diligently, weighing every thought and comparing Scripture with Scripture. And with divine help, we are to form our opinions for ourselves as we are to answer for ourselves before God. And then she reminds us, remember, whenever you open God's word, you know, never open it without prayer. Because you need God's spirit to open your hearts, to open your minds, to help you understand his word. You know, we talk about Christ is coming soon. We need to get ready for Christ, don't we? We believe Christ is coming, do we? And then we just sit back and relax, go back to our ways, you know? And she says, reminds us here, we're living in the most solemn period of this world's history. The destiny of Earth's teeming multitudes is about to be decided, and our own future well-being and also the salvation of other souls depend upon the course that we pursue now. So every follower of Christ should earnestly inquire, Lord, what will thou have me do? We need to humble ourselves. We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to put this book on the back shelf. Just open it on Sabbath. Is that what she says? We need to dig deep in this book. Okay, a couple more thoughts and then I'll put this book aside, okay? And now the snares of Satan. I've underlined a couple of things here. Now listen to this carefully, boys and girls, ladies and gents. Children, listen, moms and dads, grandma and grandpas. Satan knows well that all whom he can lead to neglect prayer and the searching of the scriptures will be overcome by his attacks. He knows that, okay? Therefore, he invents every possible device to engross the mind. I'll stop there. Can you relate to that, anybody? Life is so busy with our agendas, you know? We go to work, got to pay the bills, got to plan for the future, managed to get 5 minutes of Bible reading this morning, and quick prayer, let's go out there and hit the world. And then we wonder why our lives are empty. Oh, wait for Sabbath. That's going to can recharge my battery for the week. You know, I made a statement once. I don't think I made it here. And basically what I said, you know, an hour, you know, the rewards of spending an hour with God in the morning far outweighs the benefit of spending an extra hour in bed. Trust me. Did you hear that? The rewards of spending an hour with God in the mornings far outweighs the benefits of spending an extra hour in bed. So what are these 7 points that God has led me to put together? Okay, let's look at these 7 steps together. Number one, reading the Bible. All right? And then we're going to look, number two, studying the Bible. Number three, memorizing the Bible. Number four, meditating on the Bible. And number five, spending time in prayer. And number six, accountability. And number seven, share your story. And I said to myself, I got to make time. My wife will tell you, you know, since we are retired, time just goes. You know, there's so much happening. Like next thing, now my daughter is coming on Sunday with the kids. And then on the 6th, we got to go off for 10 days to do some more babysitting, to look after Renee, her other daughter, and the kids. And, you know, there's so much happening all the time. And you got to find time, make sure you squeeze everything in. But I said to myself, I need to take time out and put some sermons on those five main points, which is number one, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, memorizing the Bible, meditating on the Bible, and spending time with God. So today I'm just going to look a little bit at these different points, okay? Just to encourage you when you go home, then you can look deeper and put this in practice and see how it's going to help your spiritual walk with God. So reading the Bible. Question, why do we need to read the Bible? Remember, this is going to be like a Bible study we're going to share together. You're going to need this book. Why do we need to bother to read the Bible? Quick, share. Let's share with each other. Why? Okay, anybody else? Why do we need to read the Bible? Sorry? Did you hear that? To find answers, okay? Any other reason? Sorry? Closer to Jesus. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, I'll put a couple of points here. You're right. You know, we need to nourish ourselves with God's word. Because in Matthew chapter 4, you know, verse 4, what does it say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when we fill our mind with these beautiful promises, this word, it can help us in our daily walk with him. When we come across temptation and other issues that we face and challenges. Because you recall the story of Jesus in Matthew 4. When he was tempted, how did he overcome temptation? He quoted, he says, "It is written, it is written, it is written." So when you and I are faced with temptations, how do we overcome temptations? I did it my way. I tell you, I've never met someone who spent time on their knees and got tempted. Never. The power of prayer, which we'll talk about in a moment, okay? So we know that the Bible is full of gems, you know? James chapter 1, verse 5, what does it say? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. So we have a choice. Either we have God's wisdom or we have the world's wisdom. You choose. So when we spend time in God's word, God can fill us with his wisdom. There's so many beautiful things, and my time is quite limited. So I have to race through to the other 6 points. I don't want to miss them out. So I would encourage you, friends, you know, take time out daily, you know, to read the word. Read the word and with prayer and let God guide your thoughts. Let's look at point number two, okay? Studying the word. Why do we need to study the Bible in great depth? Why? Why do we need to study it, not just read it? Mm-hmm. There's so much in there. Any other reason why? Amen, brother. 2 Timothy, that's the one, yeah. That's right, because... Sorry? What's coming? What else? What other reason? Mm-hmm. Thank you. And remember when Paul preached in the book of Acts chapter 17, okay? There was a group of people. What did they do after he preached? Can you, Roger, say it loud. They checked what he preached from God's written word. All this stuff you're watching on YouTube, friends, check it against the written word. I would advise you, don't even waste your time watching YouTube. Spend more time with this. Yeah, the odd thing here. You know, but folks love to spend hours on it. Hours and watch all these theories, all this kind of stuff, which, I don't know, is that drawing me closer to God? Well, that's your choice. But, yeah, we need to study so we can understand also God's will for our lives. And as we read in our scripture reading, Isaiah 55, you know, it talks about the word of God. When God, you know, sends his word, it doesn't come back empty. You know, like when the rain falls, what happens to the ground, to the grass? It's got to grow. It cannot stay dry. So when God's word, you know, come into your life and you allow it to transform you, you know, great things happen in your lives. And that's why, and I put in a thing, you know, a couple of little tips. I mean, I love to look at different commentaries, not just the SDA commentary. There's a lot of good commentaries out there. You just got to know your Bible so you know which one to shift out and which one to keep, which one to reject. But William Barclay, for example, is one of my good commentator. I enjoy looking at his commentaries. So that's it. So we do that. We study the Word. Now, the next thing we need to take time out is not just to read the Word, study into depth and understand the original Greek, the Hebrew. That's when you get the true meaning of the words of God. Otherwise, you know, you just listen to these people on YouTube and say, oh, yeah, that's how they've decided. They're the knowledge. No, no, no. God said, you come and study it for yourself. I will reveal it to you. Amen? That's right. Now, the next step is memorizing the Bible. Why bother memorize, shall we say, Bible verses? Why? Come on. Thank you. Any other reason? Sorry? I love that, yeah. How can it help you on a daily basis with all the challenges you face if you've got God's word stored in your mind? Did you hear that? Keeps you calm under pressure. That's right. Psalm 119, verse 11. That's a powerful verse. And then you think of some of the other... come on, share with us quickly some of the promises in the Bible. Come on. That beautiful. And you take time to meditate upon this, you know, it fills you with joy, fills you with peace. And incredible. Talk about peace. Remind me of John chapter 14, verse 27. You know, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world give. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You know, and I put a little tune to it, so I'm going to sing it to you. That's how I remember it, you see. Shall I sing it for you? It goes like this. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Oh, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You know, I sing that in my quiet time with the Lord. I tell you, I'm in heaven in my little room. Because, you know, I love singing. Let me give you a little tip, by the way. Did you know when we go to heaven, we're going to spend a lot of time praising him? So you better start practicing now. Don't waste, oh, when I get there, I'm going to sing. I'm not going to bother now. You know, it makes me sad when I'm standing up here in churches in general, yeah? And I see some folks singing, others just standing there. You know, I thought, I don't know. Can you imagine standing in front of God? Let me praise you, Lord. I love you. Let me praise you. I hope you can hear me. It's all in here. I'm singing. I love you. I'm praising you. First Corinthians chapter 5, when Solomon built the temple, you know what took place? When all the musicians got, I tell you, I've got to be, this is terrible, because I've got so much I want to share with you. Time is limited. That's why I need to prepare these steps into sermons. I will do that, okay? So then we're going to break it down. We're going to make it very powerful. First Chronicles chapter 5, okay? And it talks just before Solomon did his prayer. And all the musicians got together, all right? And all the singers got together, yep? And they sang. You can't imagine the voice, the music. And you know what happened to the temple? The priest was about to enter the temple. He couldn't go in. You know why? Because God's presence came down and filled the temple when his people praised him. Did you hear that? The priest stepped back. You know, God loves it when we praise him. Don't worry if you sing out of tune. Just praise him in your room. Praise him in the car. Just uplift his name. Glorify his name. So that's why. So memorizing the Bible, okay, it's important. So I put a few texts here, but we haven't got time to look at them, okay? But moving on swiftly, meditating on the Bible. That's another good point, you know? What is the purpose of meditating? What is the purpose of meditation? Why? Why do we bother to meditate on God's word? We memorized it, now we meditate. Internalize, what else? Could you say that loud so others can hear you, please? You know, the purpose of meditation is to have this closer communion with God, all right? And so I've got a quote here. So meditation refocuses us from ourselves and from the world so that we can reflect on God's word. Isn't that beautiful? It's not about me, my problem. Now we focus on God, his nature, his abilities, and his works. The goal is to permit the Holy Spirit to activate the life-giving word of God. Rick Warren, you know, made the following statement about meditation. I love this. You know what he says? He said, when you think about a problem over and over in your mind, that's called what? Worry. That's right. Very good. But when you think about God's word over in your mind, that's called what? Meditation. So if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Make sense? So next time when you some worry come to your mind, dig deep into God's word, into a beautiful Bible verse, and meditate upon it. Think about it, ponder over it, over and over and over. And you watch the devil is just going to run away. Because the devil hates it when you take time out to praise God, when you meditate, when you read the word. He doesn't like it. He hates it. He runs away. And Psalm 1 verse 2 says what? But his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And on his law he does what? He meditates day and night. I love the psalmist, Psalm 119, because he talks about in the middle of the night is meditating upon God's word. Those of us who do that know what I'm talking about. It's a beautiful thing. Middle of the night you can't sleep, rest, just go through God's promises and it's amazing. It doesn't keep you awake, then sends you to sleep. I'm glad you're shaking your head. Like this morning, you know, middle of the night, I got up and then I was just going through this beautiful Bible verse. And it's so beautiful, so powerful. It's got to be there. If it's not there, what are you going to meditate on? Oh, tomorrow morning, I got to do this. Oh, God, this, got to do that. Got to do this, got to do that. Got 1,001 things to do. My brain is just so many things to do. No time to read the Bible, no time to pray. You've got to get on with our work. It's more important. And that's what Satan wants. That's his agenda. Don't waste your time with this book. You know it all anyway. Why bother read it? Pray anyway. You just repeat the same thing again. It's boring. Think about that, you know. Number 5, what was it? Can you recall? What's the thing we haven't spoken about yet? What have we haven't done yet? Prayer. Okay? Prayer. Who's heard of this this preacher by the name of Pavel Goya? Put your hand up. So you watched his YouTube. This one I would recommend. The other evening, my wife and I watched a couple of these because when we were at the camp last weekend at this training seminar on lifestyle, medicine, blah, 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 and the gentleman there, what's his name, Andy, whatever his name. Anyway, he told us he went to listen to him. He said, the guy, man, talk about being a prayer warrior. Wow, he's got an incredible story. So next time you're up, when I prepare my sermon on prayer, I will use some of his illustration. You wait. If you haven't watched it, friend, if you want a little kickstart, you know, turbocharge your prayer life, when you go home, just Google Pavel, P-A-V-E-L, Goia, G-O-I-A, okay, he's a Romanian guy. So after a little while, you get to understand him because he's quite fast with his accent. But, oh, man, he is incredible. We watched that. I was like, whoa, that's what I need. And that has really given me a little boost in my spiritual walk, I tell you now, seriously. And prayer is just powerful, powerful. There was something else I'm going to share with you, but I'm going to leave it on. I'm sorry we don't have the time. So Ellen G. White said, prayer is what? The opening of the heart to God as to a friend. You know, we spend hours talking to our friends, don't we? Because we love them. But why don't we spend hours talking to God and listen to him talk to us? He's meant to be our best friend. And in my, you know, in the section to do with prayer, I've given you some little tips, you know, about having a circle of prayer. Okay, for example, Monday, why not focus on the family, friends, and world leaders, etc. And on Tuesday, why don't you focus on ACTS, A-C-T-S, acronym for what? Yeah, okay, all right. Wednesday, why don't you focus on the ABC of prayer? Have you heard of the ABC of prayer? Well, I did that the other morning. It was incredible. Shall I tell you briefly what it is? Who's heard of it? Who's applying it? Okay, ABC of prayer, very simply, someone told me about it. What you do, you go through the Bible, okay? And this is so exciting because this ABC of prayer, this is a prayer of praise, by the way. You do not ask anything from God. So I go through the A to Z, and I just pray and praise God. So what your challenge, here we are, boys and girls, everybody, moms and dads, when you go home, take time out, go through the prayer first, and then go to the Bible, say, Lord, help me to find a verse in your word that's to do with praising you. So you got A, B, C, D, all right? So you find A, you put the verse, and then you write out the whole verse, A to Z. But the only thing is you're going to have a bit of a challenge with X. Because there's such a word, no word starts with X. But you got the words that extol, you know, exalt me, and so on. So you put that instead, okay? But then what you do in your prayer, you have your A to Z, and then you pray each letter of the alphabet on your knees. Whoa. And guess what? You are not asking for anything. You're just praising God, praising God, praising God, praising God. And God loves to hear you praise him. As I reflected, you know, we've been on holiday and so on, and all you do is you ask. Oh, have you noticed in our prayers we tend to ask a lot of things? I don't know about you. I've tended, but now I've stopped asking. God says, stop asking. I know everything. Just praise me for a change. Uplift, glorify my name. So this one, so try your ABC of prayer, okay? And Thursday, how about trying? Here we go. Yeah, Wednesday, ABC of prayer. Thursday, try praise and thank God for everything in your life and around you. Similar thing. Friday, meditate and talk to God about your favorite Bible promises. That's another beautiful time to spend on your knees. Just go through your promises in your mind and pray over them and let God guide you and see how this is powerful. Saturday, why not focus on pleading with God to fill you with a greater measure of his Holy Spirit. So you go through the Bible. This is all our Bible study here. You got to go, do your research, do your digging, put in your diary, all the Bible verses to do with the Holy Spirit. Like Luke chapter 11, verse 13. What does it say? You know that one about the Holy Spirit? If you, being evil as you are, can give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to those who ask him? And that's a promise. And we got to claim that daily, not once a year. And there's a lot of beautiful verses to do with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And yes. And then Sunday, why not focus on the Lord's Prayer? And the Lord's Prayer, although it's only a few words, but I tell you, you can extend this into an hour. Did you know that? In prayer? Maybe I prepare a sermon on the Lord's Prayer. So these are, as I said, these are all these different ways you can talk to God by using His Word and make your, add a bit of spice to your prayer life. So you don't get a situation of, what am I going to talk to God about? Because He's taking time to read His Word and study it. The other thing I think helps us as Christians, because some of us, you know, we lack that motivation, okay? And I put down here, number six, accountability, okay? And like the Bible said, when He created Adam, He said, it's not good for a man to be alone. And He said, he's got to have a partner, all right? So we were created to be in relationship. When you look at the Trinity, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together as a team. So what I suggest here is that, you know, you pray about it and you find someone who you can be accountable to. It's interesting. When we make ourselves accountable, we become more focused, don't we? We become more disciplined because of accountability. So something to think about. And then that friend can help you. You can help each other on your spiritual journey. Does that make sense? So that's accountability. And last but not least, very crucial, share your story. What is the point of getting excited about all these wonderful things from God's Word, okay, and all the wonderful promises, and then you have tight lips. You don't share it with anybody. You know, because what is interesting, when you do this thing, you want to share it. You can't help it. So share with your partner what difference Jesus has made in your life. And you know, with sharing a testimony, there are only three simple steps you need to remember. Do you know what they are? Can you remember? What life was life like before I met Christ, and how I met Him, and what difference He's made in my life. Three simple steps. And I would encourage you, challenge you, you know, take time out, write out your own little testimony. Not a 1 hour long or 2 hours. That'd be boring. Send somebody to sleep. You know, but something short and sweet. 3, 4, 5 minutes, that's it. What my life was like before I met Christ, okay? And how I met Him and what difference has made in my life. And every single one of us should be able to answer that question. If we can't, then you go to think, well, have I had an encounter with God yet? You know? So these are the points I want to share with you this morning. And it is my prayer that, you know, when you get this copy of these 7 points on how to rewire your brain, at the end of the day, we recognize that the only thing we can take to heaven is our character, which is this, nothing else. So we need to, with God's help, try and become more Christ-like every day. And that doesn't happen by just doing nothing. You know, we need to be disciplined. We need to take time out to pray, to meditate, and to read, and to share. So I pray by God's grace, you know, that you will help us. Help us to take time out, to spend time with Him. And may God bless you. And at the end of the little preparation, by the way, I have put my mobile and my email and everything, okay? So if you want to get in touch with me, I'm happy to talk to you. I'm happy to pray with you along your journey. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Let us all stand as we sing our closing hymn, Face to Face.
Let's bow our heads as we pray. Oh, loving Heavenly Father, we look forward to the day when we can see You face to face. We look forward to the day when we can kneel at Your feet and worship You and praise Your name. We look forward to the day when we can say, thank You for not giving up on me. Thank You for Your unconditional, Your everlasting love towards me. Father, I pray for each head bowed here this morning. We've shared Your Word together, and Your Spirit has spoken to our hearts. And Lord, may this not be just another sermon or Bible study. May we leave this place with a renewed spirit to dig deeper in Your Word, to spend quality time on our knees talking to You and listening to You talking to us. Take time to meditate and to memorize Your Word and to fill our minds with those beautiful promises that You have in Your Word. So help us, Father, and bless us. And please forgive us our sins. Ask his mercies in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.